In early December, a team of three researchers from Texas A&M University visited Sitka. They observed 11 teachers across various grade levels, held focus groups with students and parents, conducted surveys, and digested tons of data. The result is a 55-page document that looks at how the district is teaching math from kindergarten through 12th grade and what can be done to strengthen it. The report uses a lot of educational terminology, so I asked for some help.
Hello?
Hi, Dr. Caprero.
That's Caprero, actually. Robert Caprero, an associate professor in the mathematics department at Texas A&M. He is one-third of the team that wrote Sitka's math audit.
So what we did was we looked at how the students had been doing over a prolonged period of time. We also looked at what the curriculum was during that period of time. And we looked at how the teachers were enacting the curriculum.
And one of the big things they found was that there was not a lot of vertical and horizontal alignment in what was being taught. What does that mean? Well, horizontal alignment means teachers in the same grade are teaching similar things at the same time.
If that kid gets stuck with homework or there's a problem the kid doesn't understand, parents can then talk to each other. And they have a child in the same grade, then they can be helpful to each other. The parents can be helpful to each other. The kids can be helpful to each other. And it facilitates that informal learning environment.
Vertical alignment, on the other hand, makes sure that what's being taught in third grade is enough to make kids ready for fourth grade. This is math we're discussing, so here's an example.
Let's talk about fractions. If I'm the teacher who's supposed to be teaching adding, subtracting, multiplying, and dividing by fractions, then I got to make sure that the teacher who had them before me really taught the idea of partitioning wholes.
You know, partitioning wholes, cutting a pan of brownies into equal pieces. Anyway, the idea is that one grade's lessons should feed into the next, and that within a grade, everyone is on the same metaphorical page. The researchers wrote that classroom visits were fruitful and that teachers were really good at working with all of their students. But the report also says the district would benefit from giving them more professional development and from finding better ways to measure student success. The report also cites feedback from students and parents.
We had a lot of questions for parents about what they saw happening in schools, what they saw with teachers. They were incredibly complimentary of the teachers.
But they had less complimentary things to say about textbooks. Only 29% of parents said that they were happy with the textbooks. Some said they could not help their students with homework because the books were not clear or didn't have examples. One parent reported using Google instead of the book to find easier ways to figure out problems, and even parents who said that they're comfortable with math reported having difficulty with their child's book.
So there was a lot of pressure on the audit team to make a curriculum recommendation to either stay or change.
But Caprero says it's not the role of the audit team to support or condemn whichever materials a district is using. That said, they did point out that switching materials comes with its own set of problems.
There are huge people costs as well as dollar costs for changing a curriculum.
Caprero says there are free materials out there.
And they're about worth what you pay for them.
And he says the others cost anywhere from $30 per student to adopt on up to $500 or $600 per student. And then there's what he calls the people cost.
When you have to retrain a faculty in order to implement a new curriculum effectively, you have to basically teach those teachers how to teach that curriculum. So there's a whole year where instead of focusing on teaching children, they're working on teaching themselves.
Nor, he says, will it work to just slap new materials in front of teachers and shout go. In the very last paragraph of the report, the auditors write that poor execution of good material is the same as good execution of terrible material. As an analogy, they write, the best captain with the best crew, most state-of-the-art equipment, and best electronics money can buy, who fishes in a bathtub, is not going to catch any fish. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.